chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Two verses tonight. Amen. So whenever you find that, let's go ahead and stand whenever you find your place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll stand for the honoring of the Word of God tonight if you're able to. And we'll read these two verses. Okay, verse 1. Paul says this, furthermore, so he's hearkening back to really the whole first three chapters, and this is a pretty major shift in the whole letter, and we'll explain that in a second. So furthermore, based on what we've said and moving forward, he says this, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Verse 2, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Then he goes on, really for the next half, begins to tell them what they need to do to abound more and more in what they're already doing. And so just very quickly, the first three chapters, Paul is really just thanking God and praising God for the church there and how that they withstood persecution, how that they are a healthy, thriving church, and they're doing it. As he said in verse 2, they knew what the commandments were, and they have received it. Again, there's that word where they received it, meaning that they've received it, and they've really taken it in. They've taken in what Paul has given them, the gospel, but even more than that, just the way to live for God, and they've received it, and they've made it a part of their lifestyle. And now Paul is telling them, now keep going. Keep going. And so chapters 4 and 5, what Paul is going to do is he's going to try to help this church to continue on and stay healthy. Stay healthy. That's not even the title of my sermon, but it should be. I have three other ones. But to help them to stay healthy. So the title is this, Keep Moving Forward. Keep Moving Forward. Subtitle, You've Come Too Far to Go Back. You've come too far to go back. And then this is really going to be the, really going to help us tie everything together. Keep off the spiritual weight. Amen? Thanksgiving is over. We all know what I'm talking about. Yep. And so here's what they've done. They've lost a lot of spiritual weight, in a sense, and they've gotten healthy as a church. And so now Paul wants to help maintain. You know what I'm talking about? So if you don't, you will in just a second. So let's pray. And we'll get into our message tonight. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how it helps us. Thank you, Lord, for how it comforts us. Thank you, Lord, for how it encourages. But then also how it rebukes in ways and edifies and admonishes as we try to live more for you each day. And I pray that you bless now as I get into your word tonight. Help me as I declare it. And I pray that you would be glorified in all that we do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to get personal here, okay? Are you ready? Now I'm talking to myself here a lot. Unfortunately, many people who lose weight end up gaining it back. Go in here, Brother Chad, just for a little bit, okay? Stick with me. We need to get this, even though you're upset at me probably right now. Keep listening, okay? In fact, only 20%, about 20% of dieters who start off overweight, end up successfully losing weight, and keeping it off in the long term, okay? And so those who were overweight, and they've lost it, and they've not gained, kind of a weird word for it, but achieved what they wanted in losing weight, only about 20% of them actually end up keeping it there, okay? Often, when someone wants to lose weight, they go on a diet and exercise until they lose the weight. Now, you might be saying, Brother Chad, you are not a good authority for all of this. This is from a health website, okay? All right. Now, it says that when they lose the weight they wanted to lose, here's what happens. And I looked this up just for our, not for anything personal, but for the message tonight, okay? That what happens is they feel they are overweight, okay? and then they lose the weight, okay? And then when they get their target weight, whatever that is, and they start feeling good about where they are health-wise, they get comfortable where they are, and then they stop eating healthy. And then they stop exercising. See where we're going with this? And unfortunately, this is one of those things that you can be working at it for years and years and years and years and years, and then you get where you want and you feel good, and then if you just neglect it, it doesn't take long, and you're a pear again, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Pear. And I know, it's me, pear body. But I'm telling you, it doesn't take long. It's the same thing, you know, when working out, you know, and you get in the gym and you hit it, and you're at the gym every day, and you get buff, you know, and then and you're able to lift a lot. But then if you neglect the gym for even 2 weeks, you come back and you're like, the entire last 3-4 months is wasted. And it's going to take that long to build it back up. And that's just kind of the way it works with these health things. So what they do is they go back to the lifestyle that they lived before they lost the weight. And that's often what happens, unfortunately. And then they gain all that weight back. And so there are a couple of basic reasons why this happens, okay? Number one, they think of their diet as a quick fix thing. Okay, they think of that they feel like just quickly I want to lose this weight and it's a quick fix. And a lot of if you do some of these diets are quick and you can lose it fast and all that, but the problem isn't even necessarily the diet itself, but how they think about it, and they think about their dieting as a quick fix rather than a long term solution to better health, you see? It's the difference. They're more concerned really with just looking better and getting it where they want fast, more than they are changing their entire mindset about what it means to live healthy, you see? And whenever you do that, you're more prone to go back to your old lifestyle later on. So that's one thing. Number two, they just haven't changed their lifestyle. You know, like, and it really goes along with it, that they have the quick fix and they haven't really developed any habits, and so the diets are really based on sheer willpower. And then just like they have this goal, and so you just strive for this goal, and then whenever you hit the goal, well, now they've lost momentum and they've lost motivation, because really, like I said, it's like their motivation wasn't to be healthy, it was more to hit the goal, you see? And so what we're finding, what they found in these articles I read and everything, is if you want to maintain, listen, if here's the point, if you want to maintain a healthy body and a healthy lifestyle, what you're going to have to do is change the way you think. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. You're going to have to change how you view food. You're going to have to change how you view exercise. You're going to have to change how you view health, and maybe change some paradigms to where it's less about how you look and more about just really, truly your overall health. And whenever you do that, that is really a lot of times the key to staying in shape. So why'd you say all that? Not to make you feel bad or me feel bad, okay? But here's why. Because the same, that principle is also true with our spiritual life, okay? A lot of times what happens is we understand at times that we have gotten off track spiritually. Oftentimes we do that. And so, well, what do you mean? Like sometimes we find out that we have really, maybe some of our relationships have been damaged by our spiritual unhealthiness. You know what I'm talking about? And here's the thing, whenever you're not, let's go back to the example, whenever you're not eating right, it affects a lot of your life, okay? So what happens with the diet and exercise thing is you notice the bad consequences of that, and so that drives you to do right. And then when the consequences are gone, okay, then like we said, the motivation's gone, you get back to it, all right? The same is true with the spiritual life. When you're not living the way God wants you to live, when you're not surrendered to the Holy Spirit's control, and you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you and develop within you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, when you're not living the life God wants for you, there's going to be some consequences to that, you see? It's going to show up in areas of your life, and you're going to want to not have those consequences anymore, you see? Like one of them could be like, you don't want to drink anymore. And you know that's not what God wants, and so you say, okay, God, I want you to help me to stop drinking, and so then you do that. And maybe you think about the benefits, of that. Maybe you'll lose weight, or maybe your life, your family life will be better, and all of that. And so you have that motivation of, this is a problem in my life. I know it's because I'm not following God in this area. And so what you do is really hardcore follow God in that area. And then what happens is you start to feel better about it. And the consequences that come along with that sinful lifestyle begin to go away, and you feel good, and then you kind of maybe forget what got you there in the first place. And you go back to it. And then you find out, actually, this is bad. So then you go back. This is kind of what Israel did in Judges, isn't it? Israel would, in the book of Judges, would be doing good, doing what God wants. They would start doing bad. They would start ignoring God and following false idols and doing that. And that would bring bad consequences. And they cry out to God, which is what they should have been doing the whole time. They're crying out to God. They cry out to God. God sends a judge, Gideon or Samson or someone like that, and fixes their problem. And everything's good again. And then they forget what life is like when they're not living for God. And then they start ignoring God again. And then it brings the problems. And on it goes. Same is true if you want to stop smoking. Same thing. One of those things you want to give up, and you want the health benefits, and you want whatever the benefits you feel are, and so you stop. Or maybe there are a lot of people come to church just because they want God to like fix their life, whatever that means. And we're not going to go into all the ins and outs of what that can mean, but it can mean a lot of things. And so I just want God to fix my life. And what happens is they get in church, and they start reading their Bible, and they start hanging out with Christian people, and their life does get better because they're not in the life they were in. The life that they were in that was causing all their problems. But then what happens is, because they're living for God, God blesses, and their life begins to get better. And when it does, now they forget about God. And we see it a lot. And then they take a hard-nosed turn back where they were. You see? Finances. Your finances get out of whack. You're stressed, and you're in debt, and you have no emergency fund, and you've not been a good steward, and so you get into what God says about money, which he says a lot about it, and he talks about how to stay away from debt and run away from the debt, because the borrower is slave to the lender, and God talks about having an emergency fund and being ready like the ant and storing things and doing all of these things and being a good steward of your money. That means managing your money well. And so you get into it, and you start doing what God wants, and then the stress is gone financially, and then whenever that happens, we forget, and we get out the credit card, and we get it. And so you can see this. I can go on and on with this, but the idea is this, that a lot of times we find ourselves in a mess, and here it is. We're not really thinking about pleasing God as much as maybe we think we are. Maybe that's in there, but really our motivation is, I don't like where I am. And that's not a terrible motivation, but it cannot be the main motivation. And so what happens is, I don't like where I am. And then we hear God can help with that, which he can. But our motivator needs to be pleasing God. Pleasing God. Look at verse 1 again. He says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to, can you say that this next phrase with me? How ye ought to, ready? Walk and to please God. So that means walk is a lifestyle. And so Paul said, look, I've taught you, Church of Thessalonica, how to walk, meaning how to live. And in that walk, in that lifestyle that I've taught you, you're learning to please God. And that's a blessing. And he said, I've seen you do that, and I've taught you, and I've seen you receive it. And that's awesome. And they've been doing it. And now Paul saw it happen, and then he left, and he was concerned by me. He was concerned that maybe they would have left, but they didn't. And they were continuing on. But that temptation is there. Listen, that temptation is there, that whenever they get out of that lifestyle, and these Thessalonians were in some pretty nasty lifestyles, and there's a pluralistic and all kinds of different religions there, and those religions had some pretty nasty practices and some immoral practices and some just straight wicked things that they were involved with before. And now God has saved them by his grace, and God has and they learned under Paul how to live and please God, and they're doing that, and they're a blessing. And Paul, we already mentioned this, they've been an example to the nation, not to the nations, well, to the nations, yes, but to the areas around, and people are talking about the church at Thessalonica, and they're being a testimony, and they're living the life. So Paul's like, you're getting it, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that you understand. Even now, look at verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, and you know it. And again, that know part isn't just like a fly-by knowledge, like you just heard it somewhere, but they know it in an intimate way that he says, look, you know it, you really truly know, you're doing it, you've received it, you're doing it, you see? And really, that's the whole gist, isn't it, of the whole first three chapters, that Paul is thankful to God that they're doing it. And I want to say Valley Avenue Baptist Church, I believe, in a lot of respects, is doing it. They're doing it. You guys are doing it as a church. As Valley Avenue Baptist Church, I see it. And I can look each member in the face and point out places where you are doing it. And as a whole, Valley Avenue Baptist Church, I believe, is a very healthy church. And we can just see it when we're going through hard times, how we rally around church members and a variety of different hard times. And we're loving on each other. And we have a heart for the Valley Avenue Baptist Church. You guys have a heart for the lost. You have a heart to serve, and people are getting involved, and you're making some decisions for God. And now, obviously, here and there, there's slip-ups, and we go up and down. But as a whole, I believe Valley Avenue Baptist Church is very similar to this Church of Thessalonica, which is why I believe God led me to this chapter, because I'm just excited about what God's doing here, and Paul's excited about what that church is doing there. But here's the deal. He says this. At the end of verse 1, he says this, so ye would abound more and more. More and more. And so we said it. Here's what happens. They're there. They're kind of at that peak, you know, where you're down in the dumps. And maybe if we think about the book of Judges, and this is just it's such a great, if you read through the book of Judges, here's what you're going to do. You're going to be frustrated, okay? You guys are dumb. Like, come on. God just did this for you. And now you're here worshiping idols. And you're going to be like, I hate these people. You know? And then somewhere along the way, you're going to find out as you kind of parallel out with your life that you're just like them. We all are. This is who we are. And it's like the cycle of humanity. And this is what Paul is trying to stop, this vicious cycle here. But this is what man does. And we're here at the bottom, and we've messed up our life, just like Judges. We're worshiping false idols, and we're getting into stuff we shouldn't get into, and we're starting to think God isn't that important anyway. And who cares, really? I mean, I can live life my way. I won't be like I was, okay? Not a big deal. I can handle it. And then then you mess up your life. And we find out, and the bad consequences are here. This is like the bottom of this curve. And then we figure that out, first of all. We cry out to God, and we pray to God and ask for his help. And we're going to church, and we're excited about God now, and we're making some changes, and things are starting to get better, and some of that stuff we hate about our life is starting to melt away, and we're there. We're like the Christians God wants us to be in a lot of ways. Now, obviously, there's never... You know, we can keep going up. There's a lot we still need to work on. But I mean, truly, honestly, there comes a place where you're like, you know what? Praise the Lord, I've gotten over some of this stuff, and I have some victory over some of this sin that I've been dealing with for maybe even my whole life. Praise God. And, you know, that's where Judges got, and that's where they are. Thessalonians are there. They withheld the persecution. It's been long enough where Paul says, you've proven yourself. You're doing it. Well, here's what happens to the Judges and what happens to a lot of us. We're like, we're here. Life is good. You know what? Life is so good. God, I got this. You know? Thanks for getting me here. But I got it. I won't do that again. I got it. And then what happens? We stop thinking about God. We say, you know what? I can listen to that again. Man, it's not a big deal. You know, I'll just bring it in my house, but I won't drink it. Or something, you know, I'll just put it in my pocket, but I won't pull it out. I'll just hang around people who do it. because I can handle that now. And before you know it, you're down here again. And really, it's a cycle, isn't it? And you go up, and you go down. It doesn't have to be that way. That's what it was for the judges for ages. But it doesn't have to be that way. And Paul is doing his dead level best for the next two chapters to help them say, no, don't do that. You've come too far to go back. And I'm not going to get into a lot of specifics. We'll do that as we go through. But he's going to start off with morality. He's going to start off with sexual morality. He's going to get into all kinds of things. He's going to just basically being honest. And here's what he's going to do. He says, if you want to stay where you're at, then you need to keep moving forward. In the Christian life, this is true. I've heard it said a lot of times, and it sounds cliche, and I don't know if at times they would say it, I didn't know if I believed it, but it is so true, living this life as long as I have now, that if you, listen, spiritually speaking, if you are not moving forward, you are moving backwards. In spiritual reality, that's how it is. You need to continue moving forward with God for a couple reasons. One, you might have come a long way, but my friend, you have a long way to go still, okay? And so we can't just stop. We can't get comfortable where we're at. We got to keep moving because we have a long way to go. But then also, as you're heading toward God and living the life God has for you, if you stop, the pull that way is really, really hard. Your flesh is super, super strong, whether you want to admit it or not. No matter how much of a handle you think you've got, and maybe you've got all the self-help books, and you've got all the accountability, and you've got all the things set up, and everything's all good, listen, the pull is hard. Your flesh is strong, Satan is strong, and he hates that you're going that way, and he's going to be pulling this way. The world isn't excited about you going that way. And so as you're going that way and you have the momentum and you're pushing that way and you're trying to move forward for God, then if you stop, rubber band's going to pull you back and you're going to end up. If you are not going forward, you are going backwards. Whether you realize it or not, you're just at maybe the bottom, the very start of the down curve of the hill there, and you think you're all good. But you're going to end up one day, you're going to wake up, and you're going to say, how in the world did I get back here? And it all started the day where you thought, you know what, I'm doing pretty good. No, you're not. You're doing better than you were, but you're not doing pretty good. You need to be continuing moving forward closer and closer to God. And that's what Paul's going to do. And as we go through, he'll give a lot of practical stuff and all of that. But really all that doesn't matter until we have this mindset where we need to abound more and more and more and more. What happens is, and really just to tie it up, and we'll go back to our illustration with the dieting thing, you know, the diets that don't work is they're based on a specific goal, weight. Now, maybe that's not, you can have that maybe as part of it, but they're like, you'll lose this many pounds. And so what's your goal weight? And then what happens is that's their only motivation, that goal weight or whatever, however they look in the mirror and all that vain stuff, you know what I'm talking about? Ecclesiastes, Peter. Vanity, you know, pastor talks about that. But anyway, but yeah, so they have that goal. And then what happens when that's their motivator is they meet the goal and they're back. Because the goal's met. Now what? But the diets that work, that's not the goal. The goal is I want to live a healthy life, right? And if your goal is living a healthy life, well, what's going to happen is you're going to lose the weight. When you meet your target weight, you still want to live a healthy life. See? Are you seeing that? Are you following the logic there? And so just because you actually have the weight off that you want off, that doesn't mean you get to go back and eat bacon every day. Now, you can eat bacon some days, okay? Never mind. So I'm going to go way back that way. But I'm just saying, just because you've lost the weight, it's not healthy now to eat bacon every day. I've come along. I mean, I exercise all the time. That's why I run, so I can eat bacon every day. Okay, but you're gonna get fat again. Okay, but if your goal is living in a healthy way, then you'll continue doing that. That's how it works. And the same is true for Christianity. That if your goal is just so that your life doesn't stink anymore, Now, in some respects, that's not a bad thing. God can use that to wake you up. But if your own, listen, if your primary goal is, I just don't want to do this anymore. Are you hearing God in there anywhere? It's this. I'm here. Listen, I am here and it stinks because I've not been pleasing God with my life. This is different. You see the difference? And you're saying, I want to get out of here because where I am is not pleasing to him. And as you, listen, as you make that mind shift to say, I'm not drinking anymore, it's going to help me health-wise, it's going to help my relationships, it's going to help my marriage, it's going to help my parenthood, I'm going to stop smoking because it's going to be good for my health and I'm not going to smell like I do. You know what I'm talking about, the smell, it's there. And so that will be gone. But listen, but really, what the reason I'm stopping all of these things, the reason why I want to get my finances in order, the reason why I want to be faithful to church, the reason why is not just because of all the bad things. The reason is because I want to glorify God. I want to walk and to please God. I want to change my lifestyle so that now my lifestyle is going to be pleasing to him. And then as you do that, you'll give up some things and you'll stop listening to some music and you'll stop watching some of the stuff that gets your mind on stuff that your mind shouldn't be on. And you'll stop drinking and you'll stop hanging around the friends who are really dragging your spiritual life down and making your life the way it is. And a lot of these consequences will melt away, but when they're gone, your goal is not met. You see? Because your goal is, I want to walk and to please God. And you'll keep going. And you'll keep going. And you'll abound more and more. We need to make that decision before we start figuring out what that looks like. Yeah. And that's what Paul is going to help him with. There's some specific areas in your life that, it really comes down to this. Have you ever heard the difference between being and doing? Like, it goes like this. Don't just do kind things. Be a kind person. You see? It's a difference in thinking. You say, I'm not a kind person, so I'm gonna do kind things. No, just be a kind person. And then throughout the day, you'll say, a kind person doesn't do this. A kind person does that. Right? Don't just stop lying. Just be honest. You see? And that's going to help. It's going to change you. And in Christian life, we need to stop just trying to do Christian things. We need to be a Christian. We need to stop just, okay, the things here's how we think. The things that I'm doing is making my life that way. But really, that's not really true. It's the person I am being right now is not bringing glory to God and is really getting me where I am today. What we need to do is be who God wants you to be. Be a Christian. Be honest. Be a person of integrity. Be a person, and why? Because this is the kind of person that pleases God. Listen, a Christian who is walking to please God doesn't do this, so I'm not doing that. A person who is walking to please God does do this, and so that's what I'm going to do. Why? Because my motivator is not just because my life's thing. My motivator is because I want to please God. And here's the other thing that's wrapped up in all of this is you need God's help. And just sheer willpower to will yourself out of your bad situation, it will work for a little bit. I'm not going to tell you it's not going to work. Your sheer willpower for about 2 weeks to 2 months will be awesome. But it's not going to last. Your willpower, your flesh is not going to do it. Your flesh will get it out. Listen, your flesh will stop doing it as long as it benefits you. You see? This is the problem. Your flesh will be able to do it as long as it benefits you in your mind. But once you get there where you've got all the benefits you were hoping for, now your flesh doesn't care anymore. But spiritually speaking, we need to keep caring and we need to keep walking in order to please God. Walk and to please God. Keep moving forward, step by step. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how relevant it is. Even, Lord, as there wasn't a lot of specifics, just the mindset that's laid out here in these two verses, to have a mindset to please you, Lord, to have a desire to live a lifestyle that's honoring to you, not a lifestyle that we're comfortable with, and then whenever we're uncomfortable, we change, but instead, whenever our lifestyle doesn't glorify you, we change. Help us, Lord, to do that. We need your help. We need your Holy Spirit's help with that. And Lord, we realize and we admit tonight, we confess to you that in our own strength, we can't please you. It even says in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please you. And so Lord, by faith, we ask for your help, to help us day by day, step by step, to walk the life that you want us to. And then, Lord, as we walk that life, we start stepping away from some of the consequences, and we're thankful, but Lord, help us to continue to walk to you and walk in a way that's glorifying to you. Help us with that tonight. Okay. Christ and I pray. Amen.